The way we go about creating a video is that the idea can come from anywhere. So whether it's our team, a cast member in the park, a leader, we always start with just an idea. We take a look at it and we say, well, what is going to work best on social?
I'm describe myself as somebody who's chronically online and searching and figuring out what the trends are, what people are talking about. So the goal with all of our content is to be, you know, innovative storytellers.
There's truly a balance when it comes to being Disney social media and being just social media in general, because we're protecting a brand that a lot of people know and love.
We'll have to do like a part two at some point, because this is just, There's so much to get into. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Life at Disney podcast. My name is Josiah, and chances are, if you're listening to this episode, you've seen some of the fun, viral, engaging, and exciting work from our guests today. We're connecting with a few of the creative minds behind some of your favorite Disney social accounts. So welcome to the podcast. Taryn representing Hulu, Gabby from Disney on Broadway, and Dom from Disney Parks. How's everybody feeling today?
Good.
Great.
Very good.
I have been waiting for this. I'm super, super excited to jump in and to hear from each of you. And to get us started, we have a little challenge for all of our guests for Life at Disney. You're going to give us your Disney career, but in 60 seconds. So each of you have 60 seconds to take us through your career highlights, how you came to Disney, the roles you've held along the way, maybe a favorite project or two you've been part of. I know. How am I doing this to you with only 60 seconds? But I believe in each of you. So now the fun question is, who wants to go first?
That's a tough question.
Backing away from the camera. Can you tell? Like, not me.
Oh, man. 60 seconds is hard. Yeah, but I could take a whack at it. Okay. Do I lose anything if I go over 60?
I won't take it away from you.
Okay. Maybe I get less time on the other portions. Okay. Let's see. I'll start now. Okay. So, hi, my name is Dominic, lead producer for Disney Park Social Media. I started my Disney career in 2015 on the Disney College Program. I was a custodian in Magic Kingdom, and then I extended into a Jungle Cruise skipper. So I went back home to New York, and I graduated with a degree in communications, design, and digital media. Very fancy way of just saying graphic design for advertising. And I got an internship in 2019 to work at Disney Springs. So I was doing backstage communications. So for anybody who's worked in the parks, those are cast TV, telecasts, anything on the hub, as it used to be called. And then in 2020, a new role opened up, and it was called a social media coordinator. And it was a little bit of an experimentation for the role. They didn't know what they wanted to do, but they wanted to basically get Disney Parks to be a little bit more social forward. And so doing a lot of graphic design on Instagram, eventually this big app called TikTok came around and they started experimenting on it. And I was one of the very first people to actually make a video for the TikTok channel. And ever since then, I am now the lead producer for the Disney Park social TikTok team.
That's such an awesome journey too, going from the program through Disney Springs, all of that. That's amazing. So cool. Thank you for sharing. All right, who's next?
You can take it, Gabby.
Okay, all right. Hi, my name is Gabby. I am the social media specialist at Disney on Broadway. My Disney journey started at the Disney College Program in 2018. DCP shout out. I was a journalism major, and I actually had a moment of fate in the parks. I'm from a really small town in Illinois. I wanted to work for Disney and entertainment. I always knew that. And I was outside singing. Like, I was at Columbia Harbor House, by the way. So I've got the bonnet on. I've got the dress. It's 100 degrees outside. And I'm singing Happy Birthday to Strangers when I met this woman who had a celebrating 20 years at Disney Button. And she worked at ABC 7 Chicago. And I was from Illinois. I was a journalism major. And I was like, we have to keep in contact. And we did. And we formed this great relationship. And I was an intern there in 2021. And then I interned at ABC 7 New York. And then I got the job as a publicity assistant at Disney on Broadway. And then I moved to social media coordinator. And then this year I got promoted to Disney on Broadway's social media specialist. So that's like a very abridged version. But like, I wanted to take note on the relationship building that was just like so key in my career, but yep.
Yeah, That's amazing. And we're definitely going to jump into that too, because I want to hear so much more. And last but not least.
Yes. So hi, my name is Taryn. I started at Disney in 2022 after working in a background in events for entertainment. I graduated college in 2019 and had a very short stint of working in events before COVID hit. And my position was kind of impacted at my previous company, but that brought me into social media and marketing instead. So I came to Disney in 2022 working for Hulu on our original social media team. So I started as a coordinator. So I was doing a lot of the admin and operational tasks for our team, like processing invoices, overseeing our budget, creating handles, and eventually started to support on social campaigns until I eventually started leading my own. And then I was promoted into my current role, which is manager. So I oversee different titles that are on our original slate, our social platforms for those shows across every platform. And yeah, it's a really fun time. Some of the accounts I manage are like the Kardashians, King of the Hill, Chad Powers. Yeah, it's a fun role.
Yeah, no big deal. No big deal at all. Just some of people's favorite things in life. This is amazing. Just hearing three different journeys, three different perspectives. So yes, we're going to jump into so much more. But I want to start with understanding the collaborative process that goes into maintaining the social presence for your account. So we're going to start with you, Taryn. Just what does creating a video look like from your team? The initial concept all the way to production, posting, kind of walk us through it.
Yeah, so I think it depends with our team. Given that we work on shows, we have so many opportunities to capture content with talent or producers on set. We do a lot of marketing shoots where we capture photo for our key art looks, but then also tack in social to that too. And then, of course, what's always ongoing are our campaigns utilizing show footage. So a lot of the ideas are concepted by our team, or they come from asks from leadership or something that talent or producers are really passionate about. And that's always something that our team is responsible for fully overseeing the execution of that. So if it's something like a BTS capture or a special shoot, it requires a lot of travel to set. I was just on set in Atlanta for Chad Powers kicking off season 2 production and capturing content with Glenn Powell and the rest of the cast there, which was really fun to share on our social pages to get fans excited and let them know that we're back in production. And then for our ongoing campaigns, we actually work really closely with agencies to create videos, or if it's something that's lo-fi, I'll do it myself in CapCut. But then from there, we kind of work across different teams to determine what kind of visibility the video needs, what kind of approvals that it needs, or if it's something that's quicker and can just get posted. But yeah, from initial planning through posting, that's fully like my team is integrated and overseeing the whole process.
Perfect. Yeah. I'm excited to hear about some of those different teams that you work with as well. It's going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. What about you, Gabby?
Oh, so working on Disney on Broadway, there is a lot of pre-planning that goes into capturing content. So we've got The Lion King, we've got Aladdin on Broadway, and then we have our two national tours right now, which is The Lion King, that'll never end, knock on wood, and then Beauty and the Beast. So obviously with the tours, if we want to capture something, we have to go travel. But with the Broadway shows, it's very fun because Broadway shows run like a machine. They are like to the second timed of when hair and makeup come in, when props come in, when backstage comes in, to when the talent comes in. So we can't have an idea and just decide to. So I work above the Aladdin Theater at the New Amsterdam Theater. So I can't just like have an idea one day and then go downstairs and ask one of our cast members to film it. I have to ask our stage managers for permission. I have to ask our company managers for permission. And we have to plan around their schedules, but also the schedules of press events. It's way easier to capture something when we're doing something for Good Morning America or Dancing with the Stars, because then we have our cast just kind of having extra free time in their costumes and capturing something in their costumes and during a performance is way more engaging than just out of costume. So it's a lot of permission, but when we finally can get something, we try to base our content around what's kind of happening with the show and working with actors and these shows that are just going on 8 times a week, there's always something new to do. So there's always a new cast member. There's always an anniversary to celebrate. And one of our most exciting things that we did this, or I guess this last year, was it was our 4,000th show at Aladdin. And it was also Howard Ashman's birthday. So we aligned this big performance. We call it a third act, which happens post the show. And if you're in the audience, you're just really, really lucky you're there that night. And of course, we invite, you know, invited guests from Disney to come and sit in the audience that night. But we had Howard Ashman's basically biggest hits come and perform on stage. So first we had the group of Little Shop of Horrors, which is like playing off Broadway down the street. We had them come in and sing a little bit of Little Shop. And then we had Jodie Benson come in and sing Part of Your World. And then, of course, Aladdin had already sang, but the curtain had opened like even further than those little two acts. And Alan Menken was on the piano and he sang Proud of Your Boy and he gave this great speech. And it was just like the coolest celebration to be a part of. But we captured this content that was like, we went really strategically about the content where it felt like you were sitting in the seat and you were also experiencing this from your camera. So we made it really intentional that when we put this content out, this wasn't just for the people that attended that night. This made it feel like you were also a part of that celebration. And that's just like the cool thing about live theater. So I'm just really, really, really thankful to be a part of that.
Sounds amazing. And for everyone listening and watching at home, I actually got a sneak peek. I mean, the tiniest sneak peek into Gabby's life. Last week, we were able to do some collaborating together on some projects. So it's cool to hear from this side of it when we're not in the midst of an event at the same time. This is amazing. All right. So Dom, it's on you.
How do you follow up with that?
Right.
How do you follow up with that? Wow. I mean, there's a lot. There's so much that goes into it. The way we go about creating a video is that the idea can come from anywhere. So whether it's our team, a cast member of the park, a leader, a content strategist, we always start with just an idea and it gets put into a request form where our team of about 10 creators across California and Florida, we take a look at it and we say, well, what is going to work best on social? And we always keep that in mind because we have a whole team that does video. We have a whole team that writes blog posts and a whole team that does photos. So when we go about our videos, we always say, what's going to do best on social? Because there's a whole different audience, especially whether you're on TikTok or whether you're on Instagram. We always keep that in mind and we try making it unique to the platform. So we have this huge running list of brainstorms. And, you know, whether it's a new attraction or a new food and beverage item, we always make sure that like it has some unique aspect of social media to it. So whether it's a trend or if it's trying to tell the story about like cast members or Imagineers or even entertainment, you know, sometimes we work with Mickey and Minnie or the princesses, always kind of like keeping that collaboration in mind where we get them in on our brainstorms as well. So here's a great example. Actually, a recent video we did was that it was the 40th anniversary for the Seas with Nemo and Friends. So we were actually able to like contact the team that works there and talk to them about like, what are some interesting facts that you guys want to share with us? And we kind of pull that all into like a big brainstorm and write a script, and then we have about 5 videos that we could do. This way, when we go out there and we record content, we're able to actually create more than just like the video that was requested. It's like, well, we have something to celebrate the 40th anniversary, but we also have like a bunch of other things if we want like an Instagram story or something that's more evergreen that we could post whenever. Just that collaboration of making it like uniquely us, Disney Parks, and also the line of business of working with Animal Science Environment or Imagineering or Disney Live Entertainment or Disney on Broadway, or Hulu. We always try making it collaborative so that we can touch every branch of the company, and we could also make it very unique just to Disney Parks, as well as like maintaining the brand for other parts of the company.
I love this so much because that actually answered my next question. I mean, exactly to a T. So Taryn, how do you keep up with social trends and changing algorithms while trying to stay true to brand identity and the goals for your account?
Yes, I would say that this is a constant balance every day, because when running any kind of social account for a brand, there's always guardrails that you need to follow. So for us with our show content, those guardrails are pretty much always like making sure the content is appropriate and upholds company standards, including logo bugs on it, so people can easily identify like what this content is and what show it's from. That's normally when we have in the corner, like a logo that says Hulu and another logo that says the show. And then always making sure the music on our content is approved for commercial use. So those are kind of the things that we get out of the way initially. But after that, I think the goal with all of our content is to be, you know, innovative storytellers. So I'm describe myself as somebody who's chronically online and searching and figuring out what the trends are, what people are talking about. So recently there was a trend going on about somebody who is collecting buttons for the new year. They were going to collect a button every day, and it was kind of an online internet joke. And our goal with that is kind of figuring out how we can get our shows in on that conversation and make content that's going to resonate with people. So for example, Chad Powers, that's filming right now, we had one of the cast members walking around set and handing out a button to everybody, and everybody being really confused and filming their reaction, like, what does this mean? Which is kind of the whole online joke about it. So finding ways to utilize the time that we have with talent makes for really fun videos and goes beyond just marketing the show. It kind of puts your characters out there and puts your show within the zeitgeist. And then I would say too, another thing to support company goals is we're always working really closely to support different Disney brand initiatives. So we work really closely with our international teams to provide them with content, or if we're doing a shoot, we'll connect with like our Hulu brand team or our Disney Plus team and ask them, are there certain liners you want us to capture? Or are you making like a larger campaign video that you want us to capture a video for, to make sure that we're not only utilizing time with our cast or special shoots for just our handles, but making sure we're going beyond to integrate our show within the company as well.
Amazing. And Gabby, I know that you talked a little bit about the process of working with the different talent and kind of the challenges within that. But is there anything that you have to offer to this as well?
Yeah, so I would say it's difficult to keep up with the trends because they're always changing. But I, like Taryn, I would describe myself as chronically online. So it's fun. There's a balance. There's truly a balance when it comes to being Disney social media and being just social media in general, because we're protecting a brand that a lot of people know and love, and we share so many stories. Like, these stories belong to other entities. So it's important to respect these characters and tell their stories well. But it's also really fun to use the trends to expand on what we do in our segment of business. So I think Broadway is always something I feel like that gets overlooked. It's just the baby part of the Disney company. But one time when there was the candy salad trend, I was like, okay, how do we adapt this to make this appropriate, but also to expand on, you know, catching more eyeballs than we would normally get to explain what Disney on Broadway is. So we had each actor backstage. We grabbed Disney candy from the parks too. It was so well done. And we had them, and it was around Halloween. So it was like, okay, this all ties together. That's how we got leadership. We were like, come on, it's Halloween. You'll like this. So we had them pour candy into a bowl, and then they shared something that had gone wrong on stage before. So since luckily these actors have been in these shows for years, so they all had a funny story to share of like their wig falling off on stage or like forgetting their entrance. And that ended up getting a million. It was over a million views. It was one of our best videos. And I remember our leadership being like, I don't understand why this did so well. And one, it was a trend, but two, like, expanded on what these people do every day. People are like, wait, they are doing 8 shows a week and like sometimes 2 shows a day. And it just like explained a little bit more about the inside of what goes on. So I think it was a cool way to use a trend to spotlight our actors and our segment of business.
And it's a perfect example of something that would make people want to just continue watching the entire thing. That's so good.
Yeah, it's fun.
So what I love about this is that we all have so many similar experiences of creating content and having these things. Are there any specific favorite projects that you've been a part of? And for this one, let's start with Taryn.
Yes, I think every show that I work on ends up becoming my favorite project because I just get so in the weeds from it, from like conception of the show when they're filming it to like when all the episodes are out and all the fans have now become fans of it too. I will say most recently, King of the Hill, the season 14 revival, was like my favorite thing that I've ever been a part of, just because the whole group of us that worked on the show were so excited and so passionate and just wanted this to be such a huge launch that everybody was in it. So when we launched our official accounts, King of the Hill originally premiered when there was no social media. So we were kind of starting fresh with everything. And I didn't know anything about the original run, but I kind of became a fan because I knew that this fan base was really passionate. And if I posted something without knowing the lore, that they were going to sniff it out. So I really had to kind of become like a King of the Hill super fan. So I was watching like compilation clips on YouTube. I was searching it on TikTok, seeing everything that people were posting. And about 8 months before the show premiered, I launched our handles and was just posting old fan favorite clips or like compilations of my favorite King of the Hill moments. And since it was a verified account, people started following us and finding the account. And then it was kind of educating me more about the fandom too. And before we even launched the trailer or anything official, we had over 100,000 followers on TikTok just from going deep on the lore. And then, yeah, so that was really exciting because we had so much momentum already going into this launch. So there was kind of like that nostalgia driven part of the campaign to get it across to people and get people discovering our account and that it was coming back. And then when the show launched, our team sat down and we're like, okay, what can we do with custom animation to kind of get King of the Hill out there? And we had so many discussions about different talk shows that we could put the characters on. But from my own self-scrolling social media, I feel like what I normally see are like podcast clips. Like more than I see people going on talk shows, I see them going on podcasts. So I had the idea of, okay, who, if we're in the world of King of the Hill, whose podcast would Hank Hill be going on that people would kind of be talking about?
That's so good.
So I had the idea of putting Hank Hill on Theo Vaughn, which is a major podcast. So it would be something buzzy that people would be talking about. And so we brought the idea to producers and they were totally on board. I did a lot of research and turns out Theo Vaughn was a huge Hank Hill fan, King of the Hill fan. There's like photos of him going to meet and greets. So their team was really excited about it all too. And so we put Hank Hill on a custom Theo Vaughn segment and shared the clips to YouTube, to our social media, to Theo Vaughn's. And it just drummed up so much conversation about the marketing that people were like, oh my God, I can't believe they put Hank Hill on Theo Vaughn. Like, this was genius. Like, I never imagined what these two would talk about. Like, it was just, it was really awesome. There were a lot of people involved in that process, from producers to writers, to the animators, to everybody on Theo's team. So it was a really cool experience. And that clip organically got like 17 million views across platforms. Yeah. So that's definitely a highlight.
That's so satisfying too, to be able to have those ideas and kind of, you know, humanize and put these people in the real world and people's phones and to see it do so well too. That's the type of stuff that's just goosebumps. You know what I mean? So good.
Yeah. So good. That's, I think, the best part of working in social media too, is you kind of get to see what is resonating with people and kind of getting that feedback and knowing what's working. Like, you instantly get that gratification, or you don't, you know what you can kind of fix for the next time you have that kind of opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So good. All right, Gabby, I'm coming to you. What you got?
Oh, man. What was the question again?
Favorite projects.
Oh my gosh. Well, okay. So most recently, oh my gosh, Dancing with the Stars is selfishly my favorite because I get to go to LA. I get to experience warm weather and we get, it's like an experiment in social media because you can't plan so much in advance because you don't know what stars, what pros are going to be available and like how much time you're really going to have with them. So we try to plan as much as you can. You try to stay up to date on trends. And then 1 year we took the Genie and he opened with Friend Like Me. And then this past year we took, his name is Danny Gardner and he plays Lumiere and he did Be Our Guest. And we go and we rehearse for like 2 days and then it's the live show. So we try to cram as much content as we can into like 3 days. And it's literally me with a camera in the ballroom, just like waiting for people to kind of look bored so I can approach them and ask them to do some social media. And like tie it into Disney on Broadway, which is not that hard to do, which luckily I know music licensing is a huge thing across TikTok and social media, but we own all of our Disney on Broadway tracks. So I always try to do something, music, dancing, let's go. So something I created last time we were at Dancing with the Stars was I had a problem where I couldn't film our Lumiere in partial costume. So he would practice with his candlesticks on, which by the way are like 7 pounds each. They're so heavy. He's ripped. And he would practice with those on and like not the rest of his costume. So I couldn't film just him. So when he was like resting and the cast was taking a break, I approached a few of the pros and I was like, could you guys give me your best Lumiere dance? So they had to hold their arms like that and do some sort of, I don't know what they, I don't have a background in dancing, but I was like, you know, something like that. And they kind of brainstormed with me and they were like, oh yeah, we got it. And so like a pair had done like a polka and then someone else had, it just like, one of them did like the robot, which was really cute. But, and then I set it to be our guest and I put the tech, you know, gave it some context. And without having any of our cast members on it, it helped promote the show going live in a day. And it also got like a million views. And it was just like, oh, I didn't know that was actually going to work that well, but it did. And so that was like my favorite one that I made.
That's so good. I love that so much. That's so dope.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. What about you, Dom?
Across 6 years, it's hard to pick a favorite one. So I think I'm just going to pick like a favorite one that's recently. So we support a lot of things and sometimes we travel for work and everything. So if you've ever watched the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, you know that Disney has about like 4 floats in there across like different franchises. But this year was the 30th anniversary for Toy Story. And so there was like a big focus on Buzz Lightyear. And so they winded up flying me up to New York so that we could actually watch the balloons being inflated and then actually walk the parade route and get the entire journey of the parade. And so most of the requests were really just documenting it. Like, we want to see the people who are holding the floats, or we want to see behind the scenes creation of everything. I had an idea to make it a little bit more of like a parks focus type of thing, because I'm like, well, we're in New York, we see Buzz Lightyear, but where's the Disney park side of things? So it was really just like a spur of the moment thing. It wasn't even like on the request. I found that in our office we had a Buzz Lightyear toy, and I was like, how cool would it be if Buzz Lightyear was making his journey from Toy Story Land here in Hollywood Studios, and he makes his way over to New York? So there, again, this is one of those, like, I can't believe I do this for a living type of moments. But I have my phone, you know, and Buzz Lightyear like this, and I'm running through the parks, holding a toy and holding a phone, and I am going through Toy Story Land. And then all of a sudden it cuts to Buzz Lightyear in Orlando International Airport, and then on the airplane, and then he's on the subways in New York City, and then all of a sudden it fades to black. It comes back up. All of a sudden, Buzz has made it to Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. And it was super dramatic, honestly. I look back at it now and I'm like, did I make this a little too dramatic? But I'm also like, no, that's the nostalgic part of it. And I just think like it really sums up the entire like job that I do, where it's like everything is just one of those spur of the moment things. Sometimes you can't plan for these things. And like, it just had a really good story to it. Just being on the parade itself was cool enough, but being able to tie that back to like hey, my office is right outside Hollywood Studios, and I was able to go from Florida to New York. It's kind of like my journey as well. Here's a little bit of a sappy part to it, though. So when I was in school, I went to the New York Institute of Technology, which is actually on 61st Street on Columbus Circle. And I didn't mention this in the beginning because it would have been too long, but I was a computer science major when I first started college. And then after I did the college program, I switched majors, and I had a little bit more of direction of like what I wanted to do for a living. And so as we were on this parade route, we passed by my old school, the New York Institute of Technology, and I was like looking up at those windows and I was like, wow, 10 years ago, I was sitting in that room, like looking out on Columbus Circle, just wondering what was I going to do with the rest of my life. Had no idea that this was going to be the outcome. And as I was there on Columbus Circle, looking back in those windows, I saw like a younger self saying like, hey, it's going to be all right. We made it. And so that moment right there, I think, was like the moment I said to myself, this is it. I made it. Like, I've got my dream role, and it all is full circle in the end.
So that's going to be a scene in your docuseries that Taryn's going to be working on at some point where you're looking out that window, but going down the street is that parade. Like, it just all comes together.
Yeah. It also, it means a lot too, because like I grew up in New York. So, you know, not ever working in New York was pretty cool that I was able to go back. And despite not being there thinking I was going to do like something full time in New York, I winded up being back there anyway. And it was cool to visit family and everything for Thanksgiving after all that.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. That's amazing.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Now, I have to apologize ahead of time because you guys just talked about how difficult it was to pick a favorite. And now I'm going to ask you to pick some more favorites. So check this out. We're going to play a little game. And I'm sure, you know, working in social, you've seen the online debate, right, of who would be on the Mount Rushmore of Disney Channel stars. And today we're raising that challenge a little bit because you can do anything within Disney media. So what four shows or movies or characters or really anything of your choosing, you get to make this up however you want and however it makes sense to you, is in your Mount Rushmore of Disney?
I gotta write some stuff down. I have to.
Yeah.
It's like Jeopardy right now.
I know.
Exactly.
Anything in the Disneyverse.
I'm going to say anything in the Disneyverse. Let's have fun with this. You can pick and choose a character and a show and a movie and whatever you want. Just throw it in there.
I've got this one. I've got this one. Yeah. So surprisingly, this isn't something that I've like thought of my head. I've thought of this well in advance, actually.
Oh.
Yes.
You were prepped.
I wasn't prepped. I've just seen the Mount Rushmore trend and I was like, what would I do in this situation? All right. Funny enough, it's not anything Disney Channel related. I'm going to go like classic Disney. I'm a big classic Disney fan and a big parks fan. And so I'm going to make it like a little bit more geared to that. So I'm going to start on number one, right? In the Fab Five, I will say Donald Duck is like the biggest face on Mount Rushmore. I love Donald Duck. I think he just brings like the best vibes to the Fab Five. And I'll also tell you why I love him in the future. I'll get to that. The second, if I were to like categorize this in the Renaissance era of Disney movies, Cinderella. I think Cinderella will always be my favorite Disney movie, especially in that Renaissance era. But that's just the most nostalgic movie for me. Number three, this is when it gets fun. In the Disney franchise, I would pick the Jungle Cruise. I don't know who the face is, but maybe it's just like a skipper that I've worked with back in 2015. Because I think the Jungle Cruise is the best attraction in any Walt Disney World park, even the new ones. I will still say Jungle Cruise is the best. And then here's the best one. Number four, I will pick Kingdom Hearts because anybody who's a gamer or a Disney fan, I think Kingdom Hearts is just one of the best games and franchises that like Disney has ever touched. So that's where Donald comes back in. I'll put Donald a second time on my Mount Rushmore, but specifically Kingdom Hearts, Donald.
Okay. So for someone who thought about this ahead of time, this is a solid list. Like, this is a really, really good list.
It's
okay,
a
who's following
one.
This up?
So I was taking notes while you were... Good thing you went first. It gave me time to think. So I'm going to do the biggest divas of Disney. Like, that's my Mount Rushmore. So I have on here Sharpay Evans. She'll be the biggest. We were wrong to be so mean to her. Happy 20th anniversary, High School Musical. Miss Piggy, and then I would do Ursula, but like when she's Vanessa, when she turns into the evil person. The Country Bear, I don't know what her name is, but she's on the swing and she's got a cute dress on. She seems like a diva to me. And then Edna Mode. So
absolutely.
Feels good.
I'm obsessed with this divas concept for it. That's so good. For mine, I think obviously the first one has to be Mickey. Like, I'm wearing ears when I go to the park. Like, Mickey is just everywhere and is the foundation. So I think that's who I'm putting on there first. Next, my favorite Disney movie of all time and that I've seen on Broadway more times than I can count is Lion King. So I think Simba deserves a place up on Mount Rushmore. Yeah, the music and just like that movie just spans generations. And so I think I'm putting Simba up there. Next, maybe Snow White. I played Snow White when I was a kid. And so that became one of my favorite Disney movies. And I think that's the first animated feature film, right? So I think Snow White deserves her place up on Mount Rushmore. And then this next one, I don't know if we're going into the Marvel universe with this, but if we are, I'm putting Iron Man on Mount Rushmore. So I think he just kind of launched the Marvel cinematic universe. And I'm a big fan of the movies. And I think everything that's happened in those movies, he deserves his place up there as well.
Completely agree. That's so good. That's so good. Okay, you guys did very well with this. Like, very, very well. I haven't answered any questions today, but I'm gonna give you my one.
Yeah.
So this list, this is my favorite group of introverts as Disney characters. So I'm somebody who, you know, I enjoy having these conversations, but I like my solitude, right? So these are my four favorite introverts within Disney. Number one, Edna Mode. Now, I know what you're thinking. She's somebody who has it, you know, her character is bold, but I feel like she also enjoys her space and her solitude. So Edna's number one. And she's just my favorite character in all of anything, anywhere, all places. Number two, Mulan. She's trying to figure out a whole lot of stuff of who she is. There's a lot of pressure, but she's phenomenal. Number three, Zazu. I feel like Zazu from Lion King, also a big, bold yes. character, but is just like, can I please go sit in a cave and take a nap? And can y'all stop stressing me out? And number four, probably the introvert of all introverts, is Eeyore. Because aww. I get aww. It. I completely.
This is a very well thought out one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's so crazy too.
It's not just like, oh, of course you would have picked that one. It's like, oh, no, right. these are some fan favorites here. And some deep cuts.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely. This is difficult because I had so many questions for you guys. We'll have to do like a part two at some point because this is just, there's mm-hmm. so much to get into. But before we wrap up the episode, I have one more question for you. I always like to think about this, especially with working for Disney programs and the participants that come here and start their careers, like many of you on the program. So what's something you learned early on in your Disney career that has stuck with you over time?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Go for it.
Okay, something that has stuck with me. In my first internship, I remember one of my mentors said to make friends first before you network, before you start working with your coworkers. Try to find common ground just personally, because you're going to be spending 40 hours a week with these people in stressful times and, you know, boring times. It's really important to just make friends. And that's something that has truly, truly helped me in my career today. At Disney on Broadway, it's such a small office. And I spent the first year getting to learn everyone's names, where everyone sat. Do they have kids? Do they have partners? You know, what do they do in their free time? And I think spending a year or probably two as the publicity assistant doing that, it really, really helped when I went into my social media job. And now I try to go to these different departments and I see what content I can get, you know, not get from them, but what content can I make with them to highlight their departments and the projects that they're working on? And it makes them trust me and it makes me have a good perspective on what they do and respect them so much more. It makes my life just so much easier here. So it was a really good piece of advice I got.
That's so good. Thank you for sharing that. Taryn, what about you?
Yeah, I think when I had started in entertainment, and in like marketing, I had this background in events. And so I was a hospitality major in college and went to college in the South and then moved to LA out of college and all of a sudden was in like marketing and entertainment and everything shortly after. So I think I always assumed that everybody else in a room like knew more than I did or like had more of like a background and understanding in things than I did. And so I would never ask questions because I just didn't want to sound like I didn't know what I was talking about. But I've learned that that like couldn't be farther from the truth. And it sounds so silly and so simple, but there's truly no such thing as a dumb question. Like every team that I've worked on since, like even just by asking a question, like everybody's so collaborative that it could inspire a new thought, or maybe it's something that other people weren't thinking. Like I think I always just assumed like, oh, if nobody's saying this, they've probably already thought of it and it isn't a good idea. But even if that's the case, if other people have thought of it, it's worth at least saying something, because maybe it can inspire like a new thought, or somebody else didn't know what was going on, and it just kind of creates more of an open communication. So I think not feeling like your voice isn't important, or not feeling like you don't know what's going on, like always just speak up and ask questions and throw ideas out there, because you never know what might stick.
Yeah, that's so good. Mm-hmm. Knowing that you have so much more to offer. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And bring us home, Dom.
I got you. This is some advice from my old leader. I always carry this like way of thinking, especially to my team now, is that it, she says, create with no ego. And that basically means that anytime that you are making something, you should always make sure that you don't put your whole self into it, and that you let everyone else also give the ideas and make sure that everyone has a part of it, and that all of those ideas can be considered, and that you can be yourself and have the passion in your work, but always ask more questions and always feel like there's more to learn from the projects that you are working on. It's honestly a privilege to be like in this position. And I feel like, you know, it kind of humbles us a little bit to always be around people who are always willing to learn and try new things. So like when we have new people on the team, and, you know, similar to what Taryn said, like, you know, then they're afraid to ask questions. It's like, well, you know, a lot of ego gets in the way of that sometimes. Like when you think that people should know something, or when you feel like you know everything, you know, that really closes the door for collaboration and learning more. And, you know, you might think that you'll hit a point in your career where you think you know everything, but you might not. And I think that you're holding yourself back from so many more opportunities, and you shouldn't let your ego get in the way of all the things that you can create in this company. So that's something that I hold near and dear.
I promise you, I will never forget that. That's amazing. That's so, so, so good. I'm going to text it to like 20 people as soon as I leave here. Like, we're all going to remember this. Yeah. That's awesome. Man, you guys, thank you so much. This has been such an amazing, inspiring, fun conversation. And I can't wait for people to get into the work that you do. And with that in mind, can we go around and just share any of the platforms that you would want people to follow your brands on?
I can start. So you can find this year, I think ones I'll be working on, Love Overboard is coming out this year, which is an exciting one. We filmed in Malta on a boat. So you can find us on Love Overboard on Instagram and TikTok. King of the Hill on Instagram and TikTok as well. We are always keeping the lights on there and having fun. Chad Powers Hulu and The Kardashians.
All right, I'll follow that. Follow at Disney on Broadway on TikTok, and then at Disney on Broadway on Instagram. At Aladdin on Instagram, at The Lion King on Instagram, at Beauty Musical on Instagram, at Greatest Showman, I think is the right handle for that. I don't know where that's going, but follow that.
And so for Disney Parks, if you follow at Disney Parks on Instagram or TikTok, those are mainly the platforms that we support. But we also have a team that sits right next to us that we also support for YouTube. So at Disney Parks on YouTube as well. And I know my digital integration partners would love for me to also shout out, follow us on Threads as well. There may not be videos on there, but you got to make sure you follow them as well.
Awesome. Yes, thank you again for your time and for sharing. And thank you all for tuning in to today's episode. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts to catch our next episode. And if you're inspired to make your next career move, follow Disney Careers on social media or check out DisneyCareers.com. Until next time, we'll see you soon. The Life at Disney podcast is produced by Jaron Kaufman and Sarah Monier. Editing by Brandon Colon. Social promo by Hannah Butler. Design and graphics by Delaney Regnier. Music arranged and produced by Nat Young Music Group Incorporated. And a special thanks to the teams at Disney Entertainment and Disney Experiences.